Collectively right now, our first big record, it sold over 1 million copies, thanks to you. It goes something like this.
I'm gonna tell you a story. I'm gonna tell you about my town. I'm gonna tell you a big fat story, baby. Yeah, it's all about my town.
Yeah, down by the river, down by the banks of the River Chalk. Oh, that's where Jack, baby. That's where you find me, along with lovers, muggers, and thieves.
Hey, the theme song of the world champion Boston Red Sox, Dirty Water with the Standells. Hi again, everybody. This is Joe Castiglione, voice of the Boston Red Sox, returning to my roots here at WRCU. This is where it all started, 1964, the fall of that year as a freshman, doing the football games, the basketball games, and playing the hits of the 60s as Joey C. the Big Cheese. You didn't know that, Vicky Chung. We're joined by Vicky Chung, the athletic director of Colgate. We're thrilled to be here with you, Vicky, on Colgate Day.
This is a dream come true for me. This is unbelievable that I'm here with Joe Castiglione, not only a Colgate alum, but the voice of the Red Sox and just a dear friend. So I'm excited for our hour.
Well, it should be a lot of fun. And, of course, we're still basking in the afterglow of our third world championship in the 10 years. This one totally unexpected after a last place finish in 2012. And every once in a while we wake up and have to pinch ourselves that it really did happen that way. But we're so proud of what Colgate has done athletically. And it's great to see you have athletic scholarships. Now, how's that working in its infancy?
Oh, it's been fantastic. Football, this would be their first class of scholarship players, and with some of our other varsity programs, we've had them for a little while, and it's made a big difference. And not only has it made a big difference, like on the court, the field, the ice, but it's also and in the pool, but it's also made a big difference in the classroom as well. But what's terrific is that no matter what, if you're a Raider student athlete, there's something that just doesn't change throughout the years. I mean, they're go-getters. They're fun to be with, and they work hard.
Well, I had so much fun in my era doing the football. We had some very good teams. The 1966 team was 2 points away from a perfect season. They had a tie with Holy Cross and a one-point loss to Cornell. Marv Hubbard was in my class, the later great fullback for the Oakland Raiders. And, of course, the best player of that era was Ray Ilg, who was a linebacker and almost single-handedly beat Army. Still the most exciting football game I've ever done in 1965. When Army was still a national power, Colgate was behind 28-6 and rallied for a 29-28 victory, a game in which Ilga was a linebacker, played offense for the first time in his Colgate career and scored the winning touchdown late in the game.
That's unbelievable. I love hearing these stories. I wish I was there. Now I see these guys afterwards, and a lot of them are still fit enough to play.
Well, certainly, we hope many of them are listening today. We'll call in their pledges. And this is really unbelievable, Vicky, in the year of the 13 challenge. The Colgate men already matched the 1,300 gifts and achieved the $1 million match from an anonymous donor. And now two anonymous trustees have been so inspired that they've stepped up. And if Colgate sees 650 more gifts before midnight, we'll receive an additional $1 million. And if we make it to 2,600 gifts overall, another $2 million, a full $2 million coming in. So that would make it $3 million for this day of broadcasting on WRCU and on the internet.
Which is unbelievable. And it's going all to financial aid, which is terrific. And, I was on the phones this morning, and it was great. There's the staff from all over Colgate were picking up the phones and listening, and people were terrific in making their donations, excited. I think we're going to get this.
Well, it certainly sounds like we're on our way. Colgate.edu, make a gift, is the web address, or call 1-800-668-4428. That's 1-800-668-4428. We do this every year for the Jimmy Fund of the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, which is one of my employers, and something very near and dear to all of us with the Red Sox. And we hit $3 million with a lot of effort every year. And boy, it'd be great to do that here for Colgate today.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Joe.
Well, we're going to have some great guests for you. We have the athletic director former athletic director of Colgate and Northwestern, now the president of the Green Bay Packers, one of Colgate's all-time football great, Mark Murphy. I'm sure you have talked to Mark many times over the years, succeeding him in his role.
Absolutely. He hired me as the head volleyball coach here at Colgate, and I've kept in touch. He's been a tremendous mentor, and just what he's done, he's the epitome of a Colgate graduate and a Colgate student athlete. He's absolutely terrific. I'm going to enjoy this this interview with him.
And we'll also hear from Bob Duffy, who's still second all-time in points per game among Colgate basketball stars, averaging almost 23 points a game. He played before the three-point shot and when freshmen were not eligible, so he had 3 years and played for the Detroit Pistons, St. Louis Hawks, and New York Knicks. Came back here at the age of 24 when I was a freshman to be a basketball coach, and he was a hero to us all. I mean, he was telling us NBA stories.
Oh, I bet.
He's only 5 or 6 years older than us, and Bob has done so well in business and done so much for Colgate since his coaching days. We'll join us toward the end of the hour.
Oh, I think this is just exciting for me, and I've never had a chance to talk to him, so what a great opportunity on Colgate Day.
He'll be calling in for Paradise Valley, Arizona, and we'll talk to some women athletes as well, and let's start it out, and right off the bat, I have to admit, this is the ultimate in nepotism. My niece. My niece, Caroline Fotolicchio from Bethesda, Maryland, graduate of Choate, is in her senior year here. She wears number 2, and I was so thrilled when you sent me the hockey program from last weekend. Her picture's on the cover, skating, wearing number 2, and she's had a great career here. We just had lunch with her. She would be with us live, except she has her thesis presentation at this very hour.
Which is true, and she is such a special student athlete, and nepotism aside, she's an unbelievable person and an unbelievable student. And I cannot believe, I say this every year, but I really, truly can't believe that she's a senior.
Well, we had a chance to chat with Caroline yesterday, and let's hear what she has to say. Caroline Podolicchio.
Well, I have something like 25 nieces and nephews, but the smartest one is Caroline Podolicchio because she's the only one that went to Colgate. Now, have you enjoyed your 4 years there, Caroline, playing hockey and going to school?
I absolutely have loved them. It's been a great experience being able to go to such a prestigious school and get a great education and competing in the highest level of athletics. I love all my teammates. It's been a great experience. I can't believe that I'm going to be taking the ice for the last time in March, so that's pretty crazy. But yeah, I can't complain. It's been amazing, and I'm really blessed that I had the opportunity to go to Colgate.
Yeah, your four-year experience, of course, you really bond, especially in hockey, because players are much closer than they are in other sports, and to be a part of that and to see people come and go, but also the people that you played with for so many years, probably lifetime friendships, huh?
Definitely. We've already had conversations about being invited to each other's weddings. But yeah, it's definitely a bond that can't be broken. We all look out for each other on and off the ice, and I'm definitely going to miss that as I graduate next year, but I know that I'll keep in touch with all of them.
Well, that's great. Of course, you're from Bethesda, Maryland, outside of Washington, but you went to Choate. You captained 3 sports there, right?
Yes, I did.
Lacrosse and what else?
Lacrosse, ice hockey, and field hockey.
You decided ice hockey was your favorite when you got to Colgate.
Yes. It was a bit of a struggle deciding what I wanted to pursue in college. I was originally looking at Colby to play all 3 sports, but once I visited Colgate, I immediately fell in love with it, and I made a decision to pursue just one sport and at the highest level, and I think I did make the right decision for sure.
Because it's not just time on the ice. Tell us about some of the training that goes on. We know what happens in men's sports, but it's pretty much the same in women's sports with the lifting and all of the pre-ice conditioning.
Exactly, yeah. When we're out of season, we lift 3 times a week in the morning, and we can't practice as much with pucks out of season, but in season we have practice 4 times a week when we have home games and 5 times a week when we have when we're on the road. We usually get a pregame skate in the day of a night game. And there's a lot of work that goes into being a student athlete. Being able to manage your time wisely with all of your workouts and your practices, and then balancing the academic life, is very challenging, but all of us are up to it, and that's why we chose Colgate.
Well, it is, and many times, you know, when sports in season or even out of season, it's almost like a full-time job, even in a non-scholarship situation, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah, I am. It is a full-time job, and I have loved every minute of it, but, you know, there is a lot of adversity that comes with it, and I think that you have to love the game and love your teammates and be in it for them, especially when you're in a non-scholarship situation.
What kind of support have you received from the alumni over the course of your 4 years with women's hockey?
We've received a lot of support. A lot of the gear that we get is from alumni donations. I know that our sneakers this year, I think, were alumni donations. If you look at the new facility that's going to be built next year, a lot of that is alumni donations. And, you know, they're making a lot of student athletes' dreams come true with that new facility. So I'm excited to see how that ends up. And I think just the support we get at games, a lot of alumni came to our home openers against the number one team in the country and showed their support and wanted to hear everything about our experiences and how they matched up to theirs. And just knowing that there's some fans in the stands at home and away games from the alumni network is pretty cool.
Well, I've been to some of your games, and it seems like you get great support from the men's hockey team, men's football team. The guys seem to be around supporting the women's hockey program and other women's sports too. Huh?
Yes, definitely. They've been great. I think that the coolest part about Colgate Athletics is that it's a pretty small community, in the sense that we're all friends and we all want to support each other. So, you know, there's no tensions between women's and men's teams. We're all really close, and I think it results in better attendance at the games and more school spirit, and we're really trying to promote that, and I think it has been great so far.
And how do you think the school fosters that type of attitude and reaction?
Oh, they definitely love it. I think that it gives us, I think it's a great thing to say that to recruits when they're coming in, like how much support you have from other student athletes. I know that a lot of other schools, I've talked to Rents, who played at Harvard, and he
was my nephew. Yeah,
exactly. He told me that they weren't as close with the women's teams, and I think that the fact that we're really close with the men's hockey team is a pretty cool thing that not many other programs can say. So I'm sure Colgate's proud that we have such a well-knit community in athletics.
We're talking to women's senior hockey player, Caroline Podolicchio from Bethesda, Maryland, who happens to be my niece. And Caroline, what's your major and what's next after Colgate? Because that's coming up pretty soon.
I know. It's crazy to think about. I am majoring in psychology and minoring in education. I recently just did a marketing and promotions internship with Colgate Athletics this past summer, and I really loved it, and I think I want to pursue a career in sports management and marketing and promotions, maybe with professional sports. I am looking at grad school programs for sports management, but I'm really trying to get the ball rolling, and, you know, I'm just going to take opportunities as they come and see what happens.
Well, that was an exciting internship. Tell us what you did. Were you under the auspices of the athletic director's office?
I was under Sean Richards, and I did a lot of sponsorship calling to try to get local communities or local shops to sponsor Colgate Athletics. And I think it was a really good experience to be able to interact with them face-to-face and as well as on the phone, but really establish some connections. And, you know, in return, we advertise for them. So I also did a lot of social media marketing promotions. And one time during the 4th of July parade, I even got under the Raider mascot, which was pretty funny. A very hot experience on an 85-degree sunny day, but it was fun. I definitely got a lot out of the internship and learned a lot and how to market and promote Colgate Athletics better and what can help us.
Well, that's great, because certainly that's a big part of professional sports today and the intercollegiate sports as well. Caroline, we want to really thank you for joining us, and we're I know certainly as an alum, I'm so happy you chose Colgate, and so thrilled that you got so much out of your career there, both in hockey and as a student. And we know that you'll be Colgate 14 forever.
Exactly. Thank you, Uncle Joe. Thanks for joining
me. All right. Caroline Totolicchio, our guest, will continue in just a moment.
Literally nepotism, no question about it.
Caroline, that might be Podolicchio. My favorite part.
Thank you. From the women's hockey team here. This is Joe Castiglione, class of 68, the radio voice of the Boston Red Sox, and thrilled to have one of the real stalwarts in professional sports now after a great career here at Colgate in the 1970s. The guy who was the athletic director here and played in the Super Bowl for the Washington Redskins, All-Pro, and now the president and general manager of the Green Bay Packers, Mark Murphy, who's best known for hiring Vicky Chun. Right, Mark? Mark Murphy joining us from Green Bay. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great, Joe. How about you?
Very good. How about we just said that your greatest accomplishment, hiring Vicky Chun?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mark,
look,
I owe you.
What's going on to do? Yeah.
You got to be proud the way she's following your footsteps here.
Oh, absolutely. She's doing great. Yeah, I'm really happy for her and for Colgate.
How about this Colgate Day? We've already matched the $1 million match with 1,300 gifts. We're at 1,804 now. And if we get up to 2,600, it's going to mean $3 million for Colgate from alumni and friends of Colgate listening all over the world. Isn't that amazing?
It is. And who says Friday the 13th is unlucky?
Well, 13, of course, has always been a big number at Colgate.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Mark,
well,
tell us.
They've done a good job. I've received quite a few emails about it, so they're getting the word out.
Yeah, colgate.edu/make-a-gift or 1-800-668-4428 is the number to call. Mark, let's go back to your playing days here. You played for some great teams and Coach Fred Dunlap in that era. How did that help you in your career in professional sports?
Well, you know, I feel very fortunate. You know, I to be able to play, especially my senior year with Fred Dunlap, you know, he had been, he was obviously, people know, he was a great coach, Colgate alum, really had a good football career here, but then went on to coach elsewhere and was very successful head coach at Lehigh. And he actually recruited me out of high school, but I ended up going to Colgate, and then little did I know that, you know, 3 years later we'd be able to work together. And, you know, in terms of my career, just being able to – I was captain of the team at that time, so it was my going into my senior year, and to see Fred and the way he came in, and, you know, it was kind of like when I talked to players in the Lombardi era, when, you know, like Bart Starr and Jerry Kramer, and they said when we first met – we first met Vince Lombardi, we knew things were going to be different. We were going to start winning. And it was really the same thing with Fred. You could just see that, you know, he had a plan, he had a purpose, and just a great communicator. And, you know, and right away, immediately, I think that first year, we ended up winning our first eight games and ended up playing Rutgers on Thanksgiving night. And obviously the rest, Fred went on to great things in the years ahead.
Was that the night the officials cost you the game, or was that when you got the revenge and beat them for that?
Oh, now, unfortunately, that was the one where the officials cost us the game. Yeah. They called clipping on one of our players when they were chasing the a fumbled snap or a snap that had gone over the punter's head.
Sometimes life isn't fair.
You can't clip when nobody has possession.
That's right. Yes, there is no such thing on the books.
Unfortunately, they didn't have instant replay then.
Mark, and then you went on to the Redskins, and that's always a challenge when you come from Colgate or Lafayette or an Ivy League school to try to make a pro roster. I think, you know, most people that come out of some of the football factories would consider that to be a long shot, but of course talent always prevails, and so does perseverance.
Yeah, no, I was very fortunate. And, you know, I mean, Colgate, then, you know, we were a division. There was no Division I-A or I-AA. We were Division I, and, you know, obviously Rutgers was our biggest rival at that time. And, you know, so I think, you know, there were a lot more players then from schools like Colgate going into to the NFL. But you're right. It was still a long shot for most players from schools like Colgate. But, you know, I felt like I was, you know, really prepared well. I think especially, you know, having played for Neil Wheelwright for 3 years and then had the experience that we talked about before with Fred. And, you know, it took a while, but, you know, early on I felt like I belonged and I could compete at that level and was fortunate enough to be able to make my team the rookie year.
Yeah, Coach Wheelwright was the defensive coordinator when I was here. Hal Lehrer was the head coach, and we were here in the Marv Hubbard, Ray Ilger. What a great player Ray was. We were talking about that earlier.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he was great. Yeah, and you know Wheelwright, I know he was a defensive coordinator, but you know probably the biggest thing he brought to Colgate was the wishbone. You know, and they had a lot of success with it. You know, early in my year at Colgate, my years at Colgate, we had, you know, Tommy Parr and Mark Van Egan, and, you know, they really had an explosive offense.
Sure did. And, of course, many went on to some great seasons, and that's continued here. And I'm sure most athletes are very happy to know they have scholarships now. Vicki and I were talking about that earlier because, to me, football is a full-time job when you play at any level of college or professional. It's a full-time job.
Oh, you're right. I mean, it's a big, huge commitment year-round, and obviously with spring football and, you know, the time you're putting in, you know, is very substantial.
And I think what, you know, how you stand out, Mark, is that you're able to do that, and you're an unbelievably gifted student. And I think when you look at your whole career, it's about, you know, a Colgate student-athlete just taking advantage of every opportunity and succeeding in it. It's incredible.
Well, I never really thought I was that great a student. I'm sure my professors at Colgate would agree, too. But, you know, I worked hard at it. And, you know, and the thing, you know, Vicki, I mean, once I was done with my formal schooling at Colgate, you know, I really felt, especially when I was with the Redskins, that it would be foolish not to take advantage of the time off in the off season. So fairly early in my career, you know, I started taking courses towards my master's, and, you know, looking back on it, it's probably the best thing I did because, you know, when my career ended 8 years later, I had my MBA, and, you know, so I had a little bit of focus in terms of what I was going to do, you know, for the next stage of my career.
Well, certainly that helped you, and so did all the things you did as a player, especially being a big part of the Players Association, now to be on the management side. That had to give you great insight.
Yeah, you're right, Joe. It, you know, it probably shortened my career. You know, back then.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you were actively, you've probably seen this in baseball too. Of course, baseball players all have guaranteed contracts, but you know, if you were actively involved in the union, you know, you were persona non grata with management. It's not the case here. Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson are our player reps. Have been our player reps. I told him, I said, you guys have nothing to worry about. But you know, looking back on it, you know, it was unbelievable in terms of the experience that I gained and that I learned. And I'm sure that I would not be in my position now had I not had that experience. You know, not only, you know, when I was player rep with the Redskins and then eventually ended up becoming the vice president as an active player and was very involved in the collective bargaining in 1982. And then when my career ended, Gene Upshaw, the head of the union, offered me a job as the assistant executive director. So, you know, for 4 years, I worked for the Players Association. So I really saw, the NFL, the business of the NFL, not only from the perspective of a player and a player rep, but also as somebody who worked for the Players Association.
That would never happen in baseball. You're right. I can't see Marvin Miller ever having been hired by the owners. They should be elected to the Hall of Fame, but there's still that resentment. But
yeah.
You did a great job with that. And then, of course, that had to help you, too, coming back to Colgate. How did that happen that you came back here as athletic director after being in the spotlight in the nation's capital?
Well, I wasn't really in the spotlight towards the last few years when I was in Washington. You know, while I worked for the Players Association, I went to law school at night and got my law degree and then accepted a position with the Justice Department and really loved that. I was a trial attorney in the civil division and had been there about 4 years. And, you know, the opportunity, you know, the Colgate position opened up. You know, and I'd kept in touch with Colgate and Fred, obviously. Fred and I had stayed in touch and were close. And so, you know, I decided to pursue the opportunity. I really was enjoying my work with the Justice Department, really was on a track to have a career as a lawyer. But, you know, I a couple things. I missed my involvement in athletics. So, you know, the chance to get back involved in athletics and, you know, and to be quite honest, you know, especially with the Redskins, but then also with the, and with the Players Association, I saw some of the problems with, intercollegiate athletics and, you know, players not having degrees and not being prepared to really do anything when their careers end. So, you know, to get involved and to help improve things and make sure that, you know, that student athletes really have a chance to get an education and really further themselves. But, and then so that was a big factor. And then the other thing was I was, you know, the Justice Department, I mean, you can have a long career there. I mean, you make a lot less money than you would in the private practice. So I had been there about 4 years, so I was kind of at a point where I was going to have to make a choice and either go to private practice or, you know, decide to have a long career as a government attorney. And this was just a really attractive opportunity, pretty unique, that Colgate offered. And I, you know, the other, I would say, we were at a stage then where we had, you know, two young kids, or four young kids by that point. And, you know, the chance and the opportunity to raise them in a small-town environment like Hamilton was really, really a much better option or alternative than in raising them in the Washington, D.C. area. So kind of put all those things together. And, you know, the other thing I would say, you know, I don't think I realized it at the time, but, you know, as I went on and, you know, certainly my career, you know, Colgate or Northwestern or here, I have a much greater appreciation of the chance that Colgate took on me. I was in my early 30s or mid-30s when they hired me as athletic director and hadn't had any experience in intercollegiate athletics. So, you know, it was really Neil Grabois and Bruce Selleck that took a chance on me. I'm forever grateful.
How about Aaron Rodgers? I know he's been out with a broken collarbone. They keep hearing he's coming back. Has a few setbacks. You going to get him back this season to play quarterback?
Well, you know, it's obviously it's getting a lot of attention, not only here but across the country. And we just ruled him out, so he's not going to play this week. It's really tough, Joan, and you've seen it. Although, you know, football, there's so many fewer games than some of the other sports that those decisions on whether you play or don't play are really magnified. But, you know, it's one of those things, you know, he could play and he would help us, but there's still a risk that, you know, the bone has not completely healed. And what we don't want to do is to have this be a long-term issue. You know, we've made a huge investment in him. He's crucial to our future, and you know we want to have him playing at a very high level for the next 5-6 years rather than trying to risk everything for this year. He's very disappointed. He's a competitor. He wants to go out on the field, but you know, really, it became as much as anything a medical decision. And you know, it's not always as clear cut as you would like. But you know, we just felt there was more risk than we wanted that it would be that he could re-injure it if he took a big hit on it.
Well, I certainly hope you get him back. There's nothing like the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field in December.
Yeah, well, that's the other issue. Of course, we're playing this week on the road in Dallas, but. I should say this, though. We should never, although that's one of our, you know, the famous things about the Packers is the frozen tundra and the ice bowl. We have a heating system under our field, so if we ever have frozen tundra, our heating system is broken.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right. Modern technology.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, I know we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day, and I know your class of 77 is going to respond to our call for Colgate Day. Huh?
That's right. Let's get up there. We want $3 million minimum.
Fantastic.
I hope the athletic department's getting some of this money, Vicki.
Hey, it all goes to Colgate. We're all great for it. We're all grateful for it.
Hey,
and Mark, I appreciate, you know, I love the fact that I'm glad that you chose Colgate to be an AD. I'm very fortunate as a coach that you gave me my shot too. So I'm just as grateful.
Well, you know, Joe, people don't realize it. I mean, Vicki was a really talented coach. I mean, she was really outstanding. But, you know, and she also, I think she realized that, you know, she also was a talented administrator and probably could have a little longer career, a little stressful, less stressful than as a coach. But I think that really helps her, and I'm sure you'd agree, Vicki, is, you know, having been a coach, you know, so, you know, when you have those conversations with coaches and you talk about their team and their plans, I mean, you really, you know, are able to relate to the issues and challenges that they're facing.
I appreciate that. And I definitely would agree with you about the stressful part until I became the AD. Then it all came back.
Yeah. We're looking for more wins on the gridiron next year. Hey, Mark, thanks so much. Good luck. I hope to see a Patriots-Packers Super Bowl again this year.
That would be nice.
All right. Well, thanks so much. And I'm sure your classmates from 77 and your era will respond. And good luck this weekend in Dallas.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Joe. Thank you, Vicki.
All right, we are at 1,803 among our pledge total here. We're looking for 2,600 to raise $3 million. Again, colgate.edu/makeagift or 1-800-668-4428. Well, we date back here to the 60s. We're going to play some of the hits of the 60s. And let's check in with a song for our good friend and classmate Dwight Miller from 1968, who listened to this in the Hamilton Hospital when he broke his arm. Paul Revere and the Raiders and Kicks.
Girl, you thought you found the answer on that magic carpet ride last night. But when you wake up in the morning, the world still gets you uptight. Well, there's nothing better you ain't tried to fill the emptiness inside. When you come back down, girl, still ain't feeling right. Don't it seem like kicks just keep getting harder to find, and all your kicks ain't bringing you peace of mind. Before you find out it's too late, girl, you better get straight. No, but not with kicks. You just need help, girl. Well, you think you're gonna find yourself a little piece of paradise, but it ain't happened yet, so girl, you better think twice. Don't you see, no matter what you do, you'll never run away from you. And if you keep on running, you'll have to pay the price. And don't it seem like just keep getting harder to find, and all your kicks ain't bringing you peace of mind. Before you find out it's too late, girl, you better get straight. No, you don't need kicks.
that road goes nowhere. I'm gonna help you find yourself another way.
The kids just keep getting hotter.
Oh, you don't need
all your
kicks,
kids,
girl.
You be so mad
just need
before
help,
you find
girl.
Out it's too late, girl. You better get straight.
And don't it seem like
the kids just keep getting hotter.
Oh, you don't
and
need
all your
kicks,
kids,
girl.
Paul Revere and the Raiders. Joey C. the Big Cheese here. Some 45 years later, and this is Joe Castiglione, class of 68, the voice of the Boston Red Sox, with Vicky Chun, the athletic director at Colgate. Here on Colgate Day, our latest total, 1,803 donors. We are looking for 2,600 to reach our goal now of $3 million. The first challenge, 1,300 gifts for $1 million from an anonymous donor, and now two anonymous trustees have been so inspired, they've stepped up and up the ante. If Colgate sees 650 more gifts before midnight, we get an additional $1 million. And if we make our way to 2,600 gifts, another full $2 million.
And right in front of Joe is a check that he signed. So
it's for WRCU.
That's right.
My roots. That's where I got my training.
That's right. And it counts. So it's now 1,804.
Okay.
And it's participants.
Colgate.edu/make-a-gift and 1-800-668-4428. I want to hear from my classmates in 1968 and people of that era. I think you'll enjoy Bob Duffy, who's coming up, the basketball coach during my time here, one of the all-time great players. And now Vicky has one of the outstanding female athletes in Colgate history.
Yes, former women's soccer player Bevan Murphy-Romaine, class of 87. She has a great story because when we just so happened to be celebrating our 40 years of women's in athletics, and women's soccer came a couple of years later, and so she was one of the student athletes that started within the club system and then graduated, as a varsity sport athlete. So, Bevan, are you on the phone?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, Bevan, I was giving a brief history of your soccer student athlete career at Colgate. If you wouldn't mind spending a little time just telling us how you came to Colgate and your experience as a soccer player.
Ah, well, good afternoon. I hope you guys are having a nice day. How did I come? I came from Ramapo High School, which was in up here in Franklin Lakes, New Jersey. And I actually only played soccer there for 2 years. I kept watching the soccer players walk past. I was on the tennis team, and I kept watching the team go past the tennis courts every day. And my junior fall, after cuts had been made, I just said, please, can I try out? And ended up, we had a lot of success. We ended up winning, the two New Jersey State titles those years. And then I went on, and that's how I began soccer and began then playing the next year, freshman year, at Colgate, through the communications with John Beyer, who was just such a stalwart and such an amazing gentleman. And that's how I first was kind of introduced to Colgate. He was just such an advocate, and that's how it got on our family's radar and then my radar. And so we went up there, and the team was really still relatively new. It was only like 4 years. That was 84. So it was only it's third year of being a varsity sport. And there were about eight of us incoming freshmen, and that's how it began. That's how it began. We went up there for preseason. I'll never forget it. I had never done triple sessions in my life. I had never even heard that phrase. And it just started like gangbusters, and off we went. And it was really just a great experience.
I think you've continued your athletic career, right? Are you doing triathlons?
Hi, Joe. I actually kind of, yes, I have continued, and more so in the platform tennis arena, which is outdoors in the winter. It's paddle tennis, platform tennis. I have. I've done some triathlons, and I did one half Ironman, which is, all three of them, but not the big scale. And so we have a local triathlon in town, and so that's been a wonderful incentive each year because I'm kind of involved in it through some just the location of it and stuff. But so physically, yes, I have stayed active, and a lot of that, stemmed from that kind of whole experience that we continued from college and then after college and then into raising a family and now.
And I feel like you've connected or reconnected with our current women's soccer program.
I have, Vicki. You know what? It's interesting you say that. Yes, it was a small world. It was just such a small world. About maybe 8 years ago, I went up for a reunion or something. Let's see how it happened. I went up for a reunion. Lo and behold, I wasn't really totally, after the first, you know, six years after graduating, I wasn't plugged in with the Colgate soccer team. I wasn't following them distinctly. Life was busy. I was in the city, and I actually had a knee injury, so I wasn't physically doing much. And then, boom, I went up there for a reunion and learned that Kathy Braun was the head women's soccer coach. And I couldn't believe it, because it had turned out that we, in life prior, had competed against each other in high school, and I had competed against her sister. And so it was this beautiful small kind of world and paths leading to each other. And she just was so welcoming. And she was so welcoming to fellow students, the women I played soccer with the year ahead of me, who graduated in 86, and then the ones behind me in 88. Everyone just took to her. Took to her manner and the way she welcomed us back. And from that point on, we were glad. We came up for a couple of, like, homecoming and a couple of alumni games intermittently through the years. And that was kind of, I would say, the seed of getting it back on the radar. And it's been really, really a nice thing, a nice element. I just love meeting the younger and the older players. It's just been a neat way of getting some continuity with other people who've had the same, generally, a similar experience.
Bevan, wouldn't it be cool if your classmates from the 80s and some of your teammates would call in their pledges now to help us get to our goal of 2,600 donors today?
Oh, that would be nice. And I think they're ready to do that. I think they should be ready to do that. That's going for the upper 90 corner. That would be amazing if they would do that. We were talking about that, and we've kind of been communicating through the last couple weeks that this was building, and just having that moment of saying, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to say yes here. I'm going to reply to this email. I'm going to plug back in. The rewards of that are really, the ripple effects are notable. And so I hope, if anybody's out there listening, from my old land of early days of cleats, well, that would be terrific. Man, this is the time, because it's a great incentive and a great opportunity for Colgate and for the women's soccer program.
Bevan, thank you so much for joining us. Again, it's 1-800-668-4428 and colgate.edu/makeagift.
Yes, well, you're welcome. And I hope the numbers come in. It's the time right now. It's the hours. It's a great time of the day, Friday at the end of the day.
I love it. Thanks, Bevan.
Well, we are rolling. Now, big hit from Meyer in 1967. One-hit wonder, the Strawberry Alarm Clock and Incense and Peppermints.
Mankind, dead kings, many things I can't define. Old Cajun spots, wagons, clutter your mind. Incense and peppermints, the color of time.
Who cares what games we choose? Little to win, but nothing to lose.
Incense and peppermints, meaningless mounds. Turn on, tune in, turn your eyes around.
Look what you saw.
You can do beatniks and politics, nothing is new. A yardstick for lunatics, one point of view.
Who cares what games we choose? Little to win, but nothing to lose.
Incense and peppermints, the color of time.
Who cares
to win, but nothing to lose.
Strawberry Alarm Clock and 10 Cents and Peppermints here on WRCU, spinning the hits as we did, some 45 years ago. And our next guest and our anchor for our hour today with Joe Castiglione and Vicky Chung is a guy who was really a hero to us when we were freshmen and sophomores here at Colgate, class of 68. This gentleman's number hangs on the rafters at Huntington Gym. He's still, even though he played only 3 years because freshmen weren't eligible and didn't have the three-point shot, still second all-time in points per game in the Colgate scoring list, a member of the Hall of Honors who played for the St. Louis Hawks, the 11th man picked in the draft overall by the NBA in 1962, played for the Hawks, went on to the New York Knicks and the Detroit Pistons, and at the age of 24, became the head coach here at Colgate University. Since then, a tremendous career in advertising and radio, retired at an early age, and now another wonderful career as a philanthropist from Paradise Valley, Arizona. Coach Bob Duffy. Coach, great to have you with us.
Hey, Joe, great to be with you on this special day at Colgate.
Well, it's already a big day, Bob, and I know you have been so generous to Colgate over the years. Right now we have over 1,800 donors, and if we hit 2,600 donors total, no matter how much they donate, there's no minimum, we have $3 million in pledges from anonymous alumni. Isn't that something?
That is fantastic, Joe. Boy, is that great news.
Well, Bob, you gave me some thrills here. I wasn't here when you were a player, but you were the freshman. You were the coach when I was a freshman. And still the greatest basketball game I've ever broadcast, the triple overtime game with Dave Bing, who's still the greatest player in Syracuse history. Jim Boeheim, the longtime coach, was a forward on that team. Your little brother was the point guard for the Orange, and you almost beat them three overtimes. Wasn't that amazing?
That was an amazing experience, as you know, Joe. You were there, and it could have went either way, and it went right down to the last few seconds in the third overtime, and Dave Bing made two free throws, and that was it. What an experience with the students carrying us out of the gym, which is Huntington Gym. It, like you, I've never forgotten that.
Well, I remember the stands were almost empty when the game started, and we were broadcasting the game. Word got out that Colgate had a chance to beat this great Syracuse team, and the stands were filled at the end of the game, and people thought that we won the game because they failed to register one of the Syracuse foul shots on the board, and George Dalzell came down and hit a shot from midcourt to, people thought, win the game. It turned out it tied the game, and you actually were carried off the court at that point by fans and teammates, right, thinking that Colgate had won.
Absolutely. We actually went down the stairs, and we were in the locker room, and the refs came down and got us. And a lot of people had left thinking the game was, you know, over and we had won. And then some of them came back, and some of them didn't get the message to the next day. It was an incredible experience. Syracuse had one heck of a team. As I recall, not only with Bing and Boeheim and my brother Rich Duffy, but Dean, and there's a fellow from Canada, I can't remember his name. He was a great shooter, and they were, I believe, ranked seventh in the country.
Well, he almost pulled it off, a tremendous performance by your team. And you did this, you were just 24 years old, a head coach. And tell us the other guy who was as young as you that was your rival at that time.
Excuse me, Joe?
I think we've heard of him. The guy that was your rival, who was your age, coaching at Army.
Oh yes. Yeah, thanks to Colgate, I got that opportunity as head varsity basketball coach at age 24. And at the same year,
Bobby Knight.
Miles. Yes, thank you. Was coaching Army, yeah.
Who's and, that guy?
I got a chance to coach against him. I think that was the last year I was coached there. The first year. And he, you could see right there that he was a special talent as a coach. Boy, he was something. In fact, he took that team, and Krzyzewski, who's now the coach at Duke, he took that team to the NIT championship.
Wow, at Army, that's a very tough task.
Oh, my God, yes, because it's not too easy. It's pretty hard to recruit at Army, yeah.
Well, Vicky Chung, the athletic director, is with us. Vicky, I know when you look up at number 24 there hanging in the rafters, you know what that retired number is all about.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so excited that Bob, that I'm actually getting to speak with you. You can see the smile on Joe's face is unbelievable. And I've seen your name and your jersey while I was a student athlete, a coach, and now a director of athletics. And I know Huntington, my office is right off of Huntington Gym where the basketball court is, and I know that has special, special memories for all the alums out there.
Oh, well, thank you, Vicky. Yeah, that's great. That's exactly where my office was. I mean, that's all we had was my last season there, we had built Cotterill Court, and I coached the first game at Cotterill Court. And I can remember every day walking across, watching it go up, and I thought it was a marvel.
Certainly was. And I remember there, I did the first game, broadcast the first game that was ever played there. And, Bob, you've had, we mentioned all your different careers, player, NBA, coach here at Colgate, then a wonderful career in advertising and in radio, and now for many years, a big philanthropist. Tell us how all that has worked and how Colgate was sort of interwoven in between all of those great aspects of your career.
Oh, I give education, as you and I and Vicky know, is more than just academics. But what Colgate did for me with that liberal arts degree, it taught me diversity, and I could chat about with any subject, and that helped me to a great degree in business. And my NBA career was kind of an education of finding out what really goes on and how tough life can be and how competitive and how it isn't always fair, but it is what it is. And I learned a lot from that. And then when I got to go to Colgate, I was hired 2 days before the first season.
2 days before the first game, right?
First season.
2 days before the first game.
I only had a chance to coach the kids for a few hours one afternoon. Then we had to get in a bus and go to Yale, and then the next day to Fordham. And through that, I learned how to manage. I learned how to manage situations. I learned how to manage my team, my kids. They were wonderful boys. I learned so much in that when I got into business and I realized I had all this kind of knowledge and all this diversity of knowledge. And Colgate had two of the three main things I learned after I left high school is all due to Colgate. And I'm still indebted to Colgate. And the first thing I did when I sold my first company, I ended up owning two companies in the broadcast business. When I sold the first, is to make a gift. And Bob Taberski is vice president there at Colgate and was here visiting me a few days ago. And I was able to give him a nice check for scholarships for young people, men and women, student athletes. So I owe Colgate a lot, and I have to give myself credit for making the decision to not go big time, not to go to big schools, but to go for the education. And thank God I chose Colgate.
You know, and that's a great, great story. And, you know, that's a decision that many of our student athletes make when choosing Colgate. And
yes.
And when it comes down to it, it's the great education that you get here, and I appreciate that. And you know, I want to let you know that you would, if you ever have the chance to meet our current coach, Matt Langel, he has the same exact philosophy. Was a standout student athlete at Penn, and he's at Colgate, and the guys are shooting like something we're close to your stats, which is unbelievable.
Well,
it's only taken some time.
The other day, I just caught it on the paper, and I was able to watch the Georgetown game from here.
Yes, it was great, wasn't it?
And I could see that. You got one heck of a good coach there, Vicky. I could see that. And those boys are prepared, and the way he handled himself, what I could see on TV. And, of course, Tybo, Bob Taberski, keeps me up to date and is very high on the job Matt's doing.
Oh, it's been incredible.
And what you did, Bob, at the age of 24 to take over a program, as you said, time for one practice and then on the bus for a game at Yale. I was on that trip, and it had to be certainly a very, very difficult assignment. But we love traveling with you because we heard all the NBA stories, and, you know, we're wide-eyed kids at that time, not only myself but the players as well, and tremendous experiences that we learned from you.
Well, thank you, Joe. It was so nice, and you're one heck of a guy, and I'm so proud of you and your success, and then being the voice of the Boston Red Sox. Wow, that's something.
Well, we've been blessed. 3 world championships in 10 years, and we still pinch ourselves, but it really has been so much fun. And I know you like to get back here. You're here when your number was retired, and here for some other highlights as well in basketball.
I came back a few times. I did last time I was there. Mike Ferrar's number was retired, and Michael wanted me to come, so I didn't want to, you know, compete with him. I thought it wasn't a good idea, but Michael really wanted me to come, and I'm so glad I did. So that's the last time I was there. I think that was in 2007.
Well, Bob, you're invited anytime to come visit. We would love for our student athletes and our coaches to meet you.
Well, thank you, Vicki. And I sent a check to Bob Dabrowski yesterday to celebrate this day and for the basketball program and the recruiting.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
And we can date that today so it counts
in our
pledge.
And you Bob, know, when I was there with coach, a freshman couldn't play. So it took me 2 years to even get a recruit to put on the floor.
Wow.
And I was there 3 seasons. But now, boom, you can turn it overnight.
Bob, what a thrill to talk to you. I know you'd love to hear from your classmates of 62 and your players to call in or email at colgate.edu/makeagift in your honor and for Colgate.
Well, thank you. And believe me, it was an honor to coach those boys. They were not only coachable, they achieved not just that Syracuse game, but a lot of close calls. They were good boys, and I hope they do, especially on this day, send in a check.
Thank you so much, Bob Duffy. We hope we see you somewhere. If the Red Sox are visiting or you happen to be, let us know. Wish we played in Arizona this year, but we'll cross paths, and we'd love to get together.
Joe, we'll make it happen. And thanks so much for including me, Joe and Vicki. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Coach Bob Duffy.
All right, bye, Vicki.
All-American Bob Duffy, class of 1962 at Colgate. Still the second leading scorer points per game in Colgate history. Another guy I just heard from yesterday was the captain of the football team when I was a freshman here, Lee Waltman. Lee, of course, lived in Hambledon many years, worked in administration for Colgate.
Terrific man.
Wonderful guy, a great Red Sox fan, and now living back in his hometown of Westport, Massachusetts. I know Lee is listening today. And, Vicki, this has been wonderful. It's such a fast hour.
I know. I don't even know where it went.
Well, certainly time flies when you're having fun. And to talk to some of the people we did today, Bevan, and, of course, being the ultimate, as I said, nepotism, my niece, Caroline, and Mark Murphy, president of the Green Bay Packers, and Bob Duffy, the former NBA star and Colgate All-American, who's done so much for the university since he sold his businesses while he was here, and also in the philanthropical area. Bob Duffy, just a wonderful guy. And that was such a thrill for me to connect with him on the phone. We've had several conversations, and I hope we can get together with him soon. But it's always so much fun, Vicki. Thank you for taking us to lunch and for hosting us here during my day at Colgate. And we'll be at the Hall of Fame tomorrow in Cooperstown. I know you're coming over for a program we have, and anyone who's in the area, we'd love to have them stop by. Your price of admission gets you into the at the museum, gets you into our event in the Bullpen Theater at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. So thanks so much for having us again. We urge you to call 1-800-668-4428. Or go to colgate.edu/makeagift and make your pledge to Colgate University today as we approach our goal of $3 million. Well, we're going to close now as we hear in the middle of the eighth inning. Every home game at Fenway Park, it's become the theme, even though it has very little to do with baseball. And we're talking about Neil Diamond. A great quick story, if I can. Neil Diamond's had this song that's played at Fenway Park for about 15 years now, middle of the eighth inning. After the Boston Marathon bombings, Neil Diamond was watching on television on the West Coast when the second suspect was caught about 10 o'clock at night. He immediately made reservations, jumped on a red eye, flew to Fenway Park, flew to Boston, and the next afternoon called the switchboard and said, "Can I sing?"
Wow.
And they didn't ask what. They knew it was going to be Sweet Caroline, and he did, and brought down the house. Neil Diamond, the theme song of the Boston Red Sox. Joe Castiglione, class of 68, with Vicki Chun. We hope we hear from you on our pledge line. Thanks so much, everybody. Great to be with you.
Go Gate.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Warm, touching warm. Reaching out, touching me.